On March 24, 1603, Queen Elizabeth I died at Richmond Palace after a reign of more than 44 years. Her death closed one of the most celebrated chapters in English history. The Queen, who had survived conspiracies, religious conflict, the threat of Spanish invasion, and the uncertainty of remaining unmarried, had become an almost legendary figure during her own lifetime. Yet the final years of her reign had been shadowed by a question she persistently avoided answering in public. Who would inherit the English throne when she was gone? Elizabeth had no children. She had never married, and the Tudor dynasty had no direct heir capable of continuing the royal line. The succession could have become a dangerous contest between rival claimants, powerful noble families, and competing religious interests. England had experienced similar crises before, and the memory of the Wars of the Roses had not entirely faded. A disputed succession could have reopened old divisions or encouraged foreign powers to intervene. Instead, the transition occurred with remarkable speed. Within hours of Elizabeth's death, James VI of Scotland was proclaimed James I of England. The Tudor age had ended, and the Stuart era had begun. James was not an obscure outsider suddenly elevated by chance. He was the most credible claimant to the English throne and had spent years preparing for the possibility that he would succeed Elizabeth. He was descended from Margaret Tudor, the eldest daughter of Henry VII and the sister of Henry VIII. Margaret had married James IV of Scotland, creating a dynastic connection between the royal families of England and Scotland. Through this line, James VI possessed Tudor blood, although his claim passed through a female ancestor and raised complicated questions about inheritance, nationality, and the intentions of earlier monarchs. The succession was not legally simple. Henry VIII had attempted to regulate the future of the crown through acts of parliament and his final will. He had favored the descendants of his younger sister, Mary Tudor, over the Scottish descendants of Margaret Tudor. Several alternative claimants remained alive in 1603, including Lady Arbella Stuart, who also possessed a claim through Margaret Tudor, and members of the Seymour family descended from Mary Tudor. Religious considerations added another layer of uncertainty. England remained deeply divided between Protestants, Catholics, and those who believed that the religious settlement established under Elizabeth required further reform. Elizabeth herself refused to make an unequivocal public declaration naming James as her successor. She understood that naming an heir could create a rival center of political loyalty while she was still alive. An officially recognized successor might attract ambitious courtiers, foreign diplomats, or religious factions eager to influence the next reign. Elizabeth had spent decades guarding her authority with exceptional care. She was unwilling to surrender even a portion of it during her final illness. Nevertheless, the political groundwork for James's accession had already been laid. Robert Cecil, Elizabeth's principal secretary and one of the most influential figures in the kingdom, had quietly corresponded with James before the Queen's death. Cecil recognized that the safest transition depended on avoiding confusion, suppressing rival claims, and presenting James's accession as the natural continuation of lawful monarchy. His private communications helped prepare James for the English crown while allowing Elizabeth to maintain her official silence. When the moment arrived, the Privy Council acted decisively. James VI of Scotland was proclaimed King of England, France, and Ireland as James I. The speed of the proclamation mattered. A disputed throne becomes more dangerous with every passing hour. By moving immediately, Cecil and the English political establishment reduced the opportunity for rival claimants to gather supporters. The decision did not mean that every legal question had been settled beyond argument. It meant that the most powerful figures in England had chosen stability.